Appreciate everybody being here. We still got a few folks coming in. I hope a lot of folks coming in. We're glad you're here for class this morning. Those online, we're glad you are tuning in. We'll wait for a couple more to come in, and then we'll start our class. Do we have any of those that are not on our prayer list that we'd like to remember in prayer this morning from anyone? Doesn't look like it. We've still got some folks that Carl is not going to be here this morning. He's got minor symptoms, sounds like a frog, and congestion, but hadn't been tested, and I don't think plans to be. But other than that, he's fine. He just didn't want to take the chance that he would spread whatever it is to anybody else. And so a number of us have been in that boat. At any rate, we'll wait for another one or two to come in. And then we'll start our class with a prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we're thankful we're able to assemble here this morning. We're thankful for those online as well that are tuning in. We pray, Father, that you'd be with us through this class, that we might all learn from your word and be able to use those things in our everyday lives. We pray, Father, that you would be with all those that are on our prayer list, particularly those that have long-term issues. Be with them and those helping with them. Be with those that are shut-ins in particular. Be with those that are recovering from surgeries and those about to go into surgeries. We ask that you be with all of us as we continue to try to reach out to those in this community and other parts of the world. We ask you be with our missionaries, in particular with Brandon and Katie, and pray that they'll continue to be safe and that their family will stay so, and they'll be able to continue with their work or, if need be, travel back to the U.S. We ask that you continue to be with our other missionaries as well around the globe, wherever they may be, in Cambodia and India and other places as they continue in their work. We ask that you be with us, give us the strength to do the things that we should be doing in our everyday lives, and pray that we'll continue to reach out to those in this community. We pray, Father, that you'd give us the knowledge and the wisdom to do those things however you would desire for us to do them. We ask that you continue to be with us. Forgive us for those things we've done wrong. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to cover chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. And, 12 and 13 both. 13 is a short chapter. Most people know it as the love chapter. So we will attempt to get through both of those this morning. Let's start out and read in chapter 12. I'm going to read the first 20 verses, and then we'll talk about some of the things in those verses concerning spiritual gifts, as most Bibles listed in that heading, at least. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God has ever said Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one, the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. One body with many members, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If we are all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. That's a lot of bodies and a lot of parts. And the word gifts in the first part of these verses, in verse 1, where he talks about spiritual gifts, probably could be more accurately defined as spiritual things in the original text rather than spiritual gifts. Is there a difference? Yeah, there are. But the way it's used, they're using them the same way, even though they're a different definition. In verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. How does that work? Anybody got any ideas? There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, of the same Spirit. Okay, everybody has something they can do probably better than someone else, or better. Some things they can do, probably a better way to define that, is some things they can do better than other things. And I think that fits most all of us. Do we find people that can do most anything? Probably. Well, not probably. I'd say that's probably a two. I'll get probably out here in a minute. That's a true statement. But most of us, as individuals, have something, at least one something, maybe several, that we can do better than something else. Are we good teachers? Not me. But there are a number here in this audience that are. Are we good listeners? That's another whole ball game, isn't it? How many of us listen to what someone's saying through their whole thought before we start defining what we're going to say back or what we're going to do halfway through what they're trying to say to us? What does that do for us? Guilty. It puts us in a bind sometimes, doesn't it? Puts us in a problem. If we don't hear their full thought, what we think they're going to say, we're not mind readers, although some of us think we are. What we think they're going to say and what they say may be two different things. So, the spiritual gifts, particularly within the Christian faith, we'll talk about some of that as we go along here. Let's look at 1 John 4. Maybe. Come on. Uh, Okay, 1 John 4, verses 2 and 3. Well, let's just go ahead and start with verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world. Then verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So as Christians, do we have more than one spirit that tells us what we need to be doing? We have one that tells us what we're going. We may have what we think are more than one. What's the one that we're looking for and we hope we're obeying? The one from God. If it's outside of God, can we be fooled? You bet. Every day. And if you don't think so, then go back and start reading some additional scripture, and you'll find out that the devil's out there. Do we recognize him every time? No. Do we recognize him sometimes when he gets our attention or God gets our attention? Sometimes too late, don't we? We hope not. We would hope that we live a Christian life. We don't have to worry about the devil. That's not reality. So what Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthians, the devil's out there. The idols are out there. Quit paying attention to those things. Pay attention to what God is trying to get across to you, that the Holy Spirit's trying to get across to you. And do those things other than the things that you are doing. Okay. Paul's explaining about the body and its many members in verse 12. Let's see where. Verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Does that speak to us today the same as it did the Corinthians? Are we to be happy as Christians? Happy and blessed? What if we go around with a smug look on our face 90% of the time and we're trying to convert someone, anyone, doesn't really matter, anyone that's not a Christian, what does that tell them before we ever even open our mouth? Well, I don't know. Okay. Better than they are. Is that true? No, not even close. What does Paul tell the Corinthians? And we'll get into that later in this chapter. But everyone is on equal ground. He's trying to get that across to them, Jews and Gentiles alike. How did the Pharisees, and this doesn't even fall into this piece of the story, but how did the Pharisees look at everyone else? They looked down on everybody else. They thought they were above everyone. What is that? If we act that way as Christians, first of all, if we act that way as Christians, we better go back and start studying again. But to treat everyone equally, just like Paul, we've talked about in previous chapters, you know, Paul was whatever he needed to be, whether it be a poor person, whether they needed to go rub shoulders with the Pharisees, whatever it took, not to do what they were doing necessarily, but to get on their level and basically friendship evangelism. How does that work? Has anybody ever studied with, and I'm asking this because I know some of you have, has anybody ever studied with someone that was not a Christian, that may not have been, I don't even know what word to use, may have not been like you per se, and that could have been in any number of education level, color of skin, poor, rich, whatever. Should it make any difference? No. None at all. Paul tells us, you have got a gift. Have all of you used your gifts? Have you used your gifts enough to figure out what is your prime gift? What can you do better by teaching someone else? And that's not the only thing that we do, but what is your strength? Can you teach a class? Can you lead singing? Not me. Can I do it? I've done it once. They didn't ask again. Enough said. So that's not my strength. Can we teach? Sure. Is it difficult the first time? For some people it would be, some others not. But it's just like anything else, that if you study and you know what you're to do to be able to teach someone else God's word, take that first step. Is it going to be easy? Probably not the first time. But once you do it, you think, well, that's not so bad after all. So I probably need to keep doing this. Well, we all need to keep doing this. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we've got to have a one-on-one study. We can bring other people into the study. And that may be an easier way for you to start teaching, is to go along with someone that's already taught a number of times. See what they do and how they do it. I'll get off of that. We've got other things to cover here. But at any rate, those spiritual gifts, sometimes we don't think we have those gifts. What we do typically in the Church of Christ is, if we have a need, whether it be Bible school teachers, someone in the foyer, serving on the table, I can go on and on, things that happen behind the scenes, preparing materials for classes. Unless we have done that previously, we may not understand that we can do it. We typically put up sign-up sheets. If you'd like to do this, sign up. How many people are, and I'd like to see a raise of hands on this one. How many people will sign up on something like that voluntarily without somebody coming to you and specifically asking? We got three or four. Point made. If you want somebody to do something, whether in the church or otherwise, go talk to them one-on-one. I think, without a doubt, you will be good at this. I've seen you do things. You can do it, and you can do a good job of it. What's our first response to that? Not me. Really? Don't believe that. If I've watched you, and not just me, this is all of us. If I've watched you do things, I know a little bit about your background. I don't even have to have all your history. If I've watched you and have a little bit of knowledge about your background, and I think you can do it, then I need to be asking you to do it. Would we all rather just sit in a class and not worry about anything else to do? It's easier. unless I call on you. Then what? There's a number of things that we can do as Christians that we need to get out of our comfort zone. Take care of us. Yes. Thanks, David. David's point was God didn't choose anybody that was comfortable with what they were going to do. What do you do with the fishermen? He equipped them to do the job he wanted them to do. We're no different than that when it comes to serving as Christians. We've got to get out of our comfort zone, plain and simple. Rob? There you go.
As a good steward of God's very grace. So, gifts that we have, whether it's teaching, preaching, serving, meals, whatever, it's to serve one another. And if we don't do it, we're not a good steward.
Exactly. Agreed. 1 Peter 4. If you're not a good steward of God's gifts, it's on your back. You know, God's grace gave us all gifts. If we don't use them, we've got, as individuals, to answer to God about that. You know, there's all kinds of songs that talk along those lines or similar lines, but mom, dad, son, daughter, brother, sister, none of them, when it comes time to stand before God, it's each individual. It's not any of our other family members. It's not friends. So if we're not good stewards, as Rob brought out, of those things that God has placed in our lives, given us the good grace to have those things, our abilities to do what he wants us to do, it's all on us. So I'll move along. I'm not going to get through 12 and 13, but that's okay. When you think of yourself as a member of Christ himself, what comes to mind? When you think of yourself as a member of Christ himself, what comes to mind? How much are you like Christ? Think about that a little bit. How much are you willing to suffer like Christ? Think about today's environment. There are things that we think are extremely tough as individuals in today's environment. Are they? Or do we just think they are? Think about the suffering that Christ went through, not just at the cross, but otherwise. Was tormented, was made fun of, was talked down to. That was the mild things. How would we react today, or how do we react today to things like that in today's world? Do we have a nice Christian nation? Don't think so. Did we at one point? A whole lot closer than we are now. Were there still things that went on that we didn't like? Sure there were. But it's in your face today, and I don't think I can get any argument out of that. Not only in this country, but worldwide, particularly in this country, because we live here and we know somewhat what goes on. But if you think about the Ukraine right now, it's a little tough. In fact, it's real tough. Brandon and Katie, our missionaries that we support, have moved over to leave on next to Poland border. I say move. They've gotten their car. They've taken what they could and are now residing there until they get to decide what the next move's going to be. Their indication is that they will, if Russia invades them, they will go across the border. And then they'll make a decision whether they catch a flight back home, back to the States. It's not home to them. Kyiv in the Ukraine is home to them. They're from Broken Arrow. So at any rate, they're paying attention. It's not, and I think Brandon's note was, it's not as easy as what most Americans would tell them to do, and that's get on a plane and come back. That is home to them. He's going to continue teaching online from where they're at and make decisions going forward as things change. But we want to keep them in our prayers. So, is it difficult for them? Sure. Would we want to be in those same circumstances? No, we would not. And we wouldn't want them to be there, but they are. And so we want to remember them, give them the support they need in whatever their decision is. And I'll get back off of that. But how does thinking of other Christians as members of Christ? I've already been there. Let's read 21 through 31. I'm going to run out of time here. Well, let's get back to the right chapter. Help to get in Corinthians instead of Romans. Okay, starting in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So, pretty plain and simple at that point. Is one part of the body more honorable, stronger, deserve more honor or whatever? Does it deserve any part of the body? I'll get it out in a minute. Any part of the body more important than the other? No. Do we need all? God made us one way. We need all those parts to survive. What does that say about the body of Christians here and anywhere else in the world for that matter that worship together, that work together? Do we need everyone? Can we make it work if we don't have everyone? Not very well. Can we survive? Maybe. But we will be handicapped. Exactly. The handicap sometimes overrules everything else. Look at the number that we have or don't have this morning. Are we all important to this body? Sure we are. And we're thankful for everyone that's part of this body. Whether you're here, whether you're online, whether you're confined to nursing facilities, whether you're wherever you are. Would we like for you to all be back here? You bet. Without a doubt. Because I wouldn't be talking to a number of empty seats. Not that everybody else here is not just as important as these empty seats, because you're more so because you are here. And we understand that those that are not here are not here for a reason. But we hope and pray that at some point, hopefully soon, that we have more here on Sunday morning. Why would we want everybody here on Sunday morning? Comments. Show support. What does Scripture say about us attending together?
Edify.
If there's only one person here in this audience, let's think about it a second. Nobody's here but Harry. And he looks around and thinks, why am I here by myself? Do my other brothers and sisters in Christ, have I done something wrong? Why am I here by myself? Can Harry still do the work that he had liked to do, teaching other Christians? Sure. Is he going to feel, and I don't want to put words in Harry's mouth, but how's he going to feel trying to do this all out there on his own? No support. No other happy Christian faces. And we hope they're happy. If they're not, whoever we're trying to teach has already got one strike against us. Well, if he or she's not a happy person, why do I want to do that? There's a lot of this is not rocket science. It's just not. We have the manual. We have God's word. Tells us just exactly what we're supposed to be doing and how we're to do it. Has man entered into it and got books and books and more books telling you how to do those things? Sure. Are some of them good points? We'll not argue that. Are some of them just writing books to sell books? Yeah. And if you haven't read some of those, forget it. Don't. I'm not telling you that there's not good Christian authors out there, because there are. There are some good training materials out there. But did the fisherman that Jesus asked to follow him have a manual? No. Did they have any idea what they were going to be doing going forward? Nope. But they did. And God gave them the tools to do it. Jesus was their instructor. Okay, let's look at the last few verses of chapter 12, starting verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. If Paul was talking to us this morning, and the ones that are in attendance in this class this morning, who's going to show us a more excellent way? The Spirit? He will. Do we have a manual? Sure. We're one step ahead of the apostles already at that point. What happens if we don't use the manual? Think we go backwards? We may. Do we live on faith that God will still bless us if we don't do anything? If your faith tells you that, you got a stronger faith than what I've got, which you may have anyway. He's going to not let us go astray, but it's not just him stopping us from doing that. He gave us a body and a mind individually to decide what route we're going to take. If we don't take his route, you think we're going to suffer some consequences? Likely. Do we know what form those will be in? Unless you're a mind reader or a fortune teller, I don't think so. How are we to react to the things that the Spirit is telling us? Are we to accept those things and do what we think God wants us to do or instructs us to do as far as Scripture is concerned? Or are we to just say, well, yeah, maybe tomorrow or next week or next month? Does that get God's work done? No. No more than if you were still working and your boss asked you to do something and you didn't do it, well, I'll put that off till tomorrow, the next day, or next week. How would that work? I don't know how it would work in today's work environment. I've got a good idea. But when I was still working, that wouldn't last very long. You might get by with it once. Twice, probably not. And you'd probably be looking for another job. That's the way we need to look at what God wants us to do. If we are capable of doing it and we don't do it, unless we have something physically keeping us health-wise from doing it, then we need to consider that real closely. There are a number of things that we can do and do very well if we just think about it a little bit. And have faith in God that, okay, get me through this. Have a little talk with God, prayer-wise, and then decide whether it's a good decision or not. What sorts of body parts in the church do Christians tend to regard as more important than others? What parts of the church, what body parts, do we find some that we think are more important than others? Teachers, deacons, elders, preachers, individual members, are any more important than others? No. Does the machine run smoother if everyone does their part? No brainer. Sure it does. So if we don't participate in doing whatever God has given us to do, whether we've ever done it before in the church or not, doesn't really matter at this point. If you're able to do it, have the knowledge to do it, or think you might want to do it, hey, hold up your hand. We're ready. Let's go. Can we reach out to those in this community? You bet. Can we help our young families and their kids? You bet. No problem. Some of you say, well, yeah, that is a problem. Those are a bunch of little kids. They are. And if we don't help them whenever needed, as examples, as helpers, as babysitter, whatever the work may be, what's going to happen with them? We know they've got Christian parents, or we certainly hope that they do, and they're doing as good a job as they can, but can we as older individuals, and not everybody in here is older individuals, at least to me, but can we help them? Sure we can. Not only we can, we need to. And you'll find out that that's a blessing to you as well as them. Okay. I've been more emotional this morning than I had ever planned to be, but be that as it may. We've got about 5 minutes. In verse 13, let's start down in verse 4 for a few verses. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Does that sound like a song that we sing? Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now what I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. So there's why the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is talked about the love chapter. We see it quoted, or pieces of it quoted, at marriage ceremonies and a number of other things. But what's Paul trying to get across here? Any ideas? Okay, everything that should be done with love, Harry says. Agreed. And if we don't do it, let me back up. How difficult is that? Extremely. And if it's not difficult for you, let me know after class. I need to talk to you for a little bit because I need to learn how you're doing that. Should we all live that way? You bet. Do we always do it that way? Kind of doubtful as individuals, as much as we would like to. Do we answer someone in a gruff tone? Guilty? Do we mean it that way? We hope not. But how does that individual receive that? David? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. David says what Paul's trying to get across is the Corinthians are using the wrong measuring stick to value each other. Those things that I just read, rather than love and love for each other, if you think about the things that we've covered dealing with the Corinthians at that point in time, and those things, a lot of them are no different than what we see in this country today, I'm sorry to say, but we've talked about that a little bit previously. But if we look at everything with the idea of love fitting into that, Do we love to do everything we do? No. And we're not going to. Can we have that attitude, though, toward others in particular, in whatever we do? If we don't, we should. And I'm preaching to me. When someone is gruff with us or snaps back at us, how do we reply to them? Typically, as individuals. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me see if I can do that a different way. Or, nope, I ain't doing that. I don't care what you say. Really? Guilty. But if we use love that Christ tells us we're to do in whatever we do, and particularly dealing with individuals and particularly those that we may be trying to teach, then we'll be better off. They'll be better off. We're out of time. We will move on to chapter 14 next week. Thanks for everyone's participation, and we'll enter into our worship service shortly. Thank you.